Cape Talk, fabulous life.
As I mentioned earlier, this topic came up a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember even how. It was a fairly random, comment from someone that suddenly got the lines lighting up with people talking about the games that they like to play and the way their family behaves when they're playing board games. We had such an enthusiastic response. We thought we would give it a little bit more meat today in our Family Matters segment because, of course, with the school holidays pending and the cold, wet weather setting in, it is the ideal way to get the whole family round the table together and connect in person with one another. Joining us on the line are two owners of, two representatives of Cape Town Board Game Stores. We're delighted to have with us Nizam Abdul, who's the owner of Pandemonium Games in Plumstead, and Frankie Bradar, who's the events manager at Big Box Cafe in Roland Street. They're going to be chatting to us about their big sellers, about who's playing, who's buying. I hope they'll give us some input on why they cost so much, because some of them are quite hair-raising when you look at the price tag. If you've got a question for them, give us a call on 021-446-0567. Nizam, let's start with you. Great to have you with us on the show, and thanks so much for contributing today. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Papa. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's a great pleasure. For those who don't know Pandemonium Games, won't you just briefly tell us a little bit about where you are and what the business is all about?
Okay, so we are in the southern suburbs on the main road in Plumstead. If everyone knows where Paul Bothner Music is, we're directly yes. across from them. And we are a board gaming miniatures store where we sell board games as well as various miniature games as well as support those things through events, hosting events at the store. And we offer a play space as well for people who want to play games as well.
Nizam, what made you decide to go into this line of business?
So this actually starts in the Middle East, this story, about 7 years ago. And I work in the Middle East. I work for in healthcare. And I never really played board games as a child until I worked with some American fellows. And they had board game night every week, and it was very social and very interactive. And I wanted to bring that year. So when I got back from the Middle East, I was finishing my stint there. I opened up another business, which is not called Pandemonium Games. It was called Quantum Gaming at that point.
Yes.
That was the original store. And that grew to the point where, in the end, unfortunately, a merger and a name change was necessary because of the demand from the Cape Town community.
That speaks volumes. So there was that much demand that you needed to grow and merge to get yourself to where you are today. Nizam, who's your typical player? Is there any such thing as a typical player?
There used to be. If you look at about, say, 5 years ago, there was a typical type of person that played board games. And I'm not going to throw out any negative stereotypes. It's just the type of person who's generally what people see on television, you know, the nerd stereotype where it's the person who's antisocial, who wants to sit inside and play games. I don't fit that mold, unfortunately, because I feel I'm very sociable and I'm quite outgoing, yet I enjoy playing all types of board games and miniature games. So that stereotype has now morphed across different types and groups of people, as well as like age groups as well, genders also, because it used to be a very male-dominated thing. Now there's lots of women in board gaming as well. So that's changed over the years as well.
Okay, that's Nizam Abdul, owner of Pandemonium Games in Plumstead. Let me bring in Frankie Bradar, who's the events manager at Big Box Cafe in Roland Street here in the CBD. Frankie, welcome to you as well. Great to have you with us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I know Big Box has just celebrated its third birthday, and you've actually grown out of a similar concept in France, am I correct?
Yes, in France it's very popular activity. To instead of having that huge event where you have people who get together and have this massive party where the entire town will shut down and they'll have a board game event where there are board games of all types, cards, strategic, but the whole point is getting people to come together and be a community.
Okay, I'm struggling to understand, Frankie. There's a terrible echo on that line, so I'm going to put it back to my producer and ask her, please, to try and get a clearer line so that we can hear properly. In the meantime, Nizam, Frankie was referencing the social concept there of an entire village in France or town getting together to play together. It is the social element that I love most about this, that we so often hear parents complaining that the kids are sitting on screens the whole time or that families are also wrapped up in their phones, that they're not talking to each other anymore. So sitting down to play a board game together, I don't know about everybody else's house, but in our house, the rule is you put the phone aside and you're not allowed to pick it up until the end of the game. And the kids shout at us if you do. Nizam, is that something you're seeing coming through in your customers, that social element is actually a big part of why they are coming to play and buying games?
Yes, by its very nature, board gaming or any kind of gaming that is what's analog, not digital, on a phone or a PC or something like that, is social in nature. You would need to interact with other people and play games. Even the largest card game in the world, Magic the Gathering, requires a social element because you're playing against an opponent, so there is a social interaction as well. So all these games, board games, miniatures, they all need that social thing. And it's an interesting topic with regards to technology in board games, because
yes,
that's suddenly a very hot debate, because traditionally, board games are not technological. There's no phone, there's no tablet or anything like that. However, there's a rise of games that have an app that drives a game. So just to get, I don't want to get too deep into definitions, but what happens is you have a one versus many game. So it's a one person is the game's master, but not in the D&D sense. But people are playing against that person, and not everyone wants to be that person. So apps would run that, giving you an AI that people as a group can play a game. Now, the school of thought is, that shouldn't be allowed because that's taken away from board games. But anything that makes your experience better, I feel, is a good thing. But generally, socializing on your phone while playing games, people tend to think of it as disrespectfully, depending on your group, obviously. So normally people lay the rule down beforehand, like, you know, no phones right now. We can be playing this game. Unless it's part of the game, then no. There is no need to use your phone, unfortunately, during a game.
That's very interesting. I wonder if anybody listening has played around with that element where the game is associated with an app that works in tandem with it, if you want to talk to us about what you're playing. I've already had a WhatsApp from someone wondering if the old games like Snakes and Ladders and Ludo, etc., are still popular. I still remember they were always part of the lucky dips we received at Christmas time, says that listener. Nizam, is there still a market for those really traditional, the ones that came in the compendium of games in my childhood?
There are people still request certain games like that, like your Monopolies, your, what is that, Abalone is the one, Abalone, I believe, yes. And there's quite a few that people look for very specifically, either out of nostalgia or also it's a good family game just to get people playing. And it's also, what we also need to take cognizance of, it, those are what's called gateway games. Then people would start playing, but then when they want to look for something more, there are other options available. But those are really good and easy games to get into. The game of chess is obviously a good example. Because it has a defined rule set, there are only two players, and it hasn't changed in a few hundred or thousand years.
I think it's a couple of thousand by now, Nizam, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. All right, I think we've got Frankie back on a clearer line. And Frankie Bredar, the events manager at Big Box Cafe, was telling us that they've just turned three. And Frankie, that this was born out of a concept in France of a board games cafe. How is the South African public responding to the idea of a venue where they don't just come to buy games, but can sit and play and find other players to share their favorite game with?
Actually, very, very wonderful. Wonderfully. In fact, a lot of customers come by and say, wow, how come we haven't had an idea like this for a while? Why is it something that has only now sort of been a thing? Because very rarely do you find spaces or cafes or activities where one can go out where you first of all spend a minimal amount of money. You don't have to spend money on the activity that you're going out to enjoy. And it's something that literally anyone of any age, young or old, and of any community that can come together and just play. And play is a very important thing that a lot of us don't seem to have the time to do anymore, and even though we should. Everyone, doesn't matter where you're from, what you do, should have at least 5 minutes a day where we decide, okay, I'm taking me time and I'm playing. I am not being constricted by any idea or any task or thing that I have to do, and I'm just free to play.
Frankie, speaking of that anyone can play aspect, Nizam was just saying to us that he's noticed his sort of audience for board games becoming increasingly diverse the longer he's been in business. Is that your experience at Big Box Cafe as well, that the people who come in to buy range a huge amount in who they are, what sort of characteristics they fit, what age they are, what gender they are, etc.?
Yes, so it's broadened, even for myself, who is also someone who's been part of a community that has been similar across the board, whether it's tabletop gaming, electronic gaming, or even just straight-up role-playing. It's a thing that has expanded to literally everyone because they're starting to realize the joy and the skill that it actually sort of preps you up for, the social interaction. Mm-hmm. And also with today's age and technology and how it's somewhat stunting everyone's social ability, and how etiquette, well, common decency seems to be translated in another way for online etiquette or online respect for one another, but you actually forget that we live in real time as well, and games and spaces that allow people to sort of come together and interact, not just eat food, not just watch a show, not just listen to music or whatever someone has to say. And that is a difference that our space also brings to people, is that they come together for the common thing of, yes, we're going out, yes, we're having food, yes, we're having a cup of coffee, but we still can communicate with each other and engage because we're all staying together.
Speaking of the respect for the rules, interesting comment here from someone on our WhatsApp line saying, our family studies the rule book like an advocate studies the law. We end up battling rules against each other, and that's quite fun. Although we've just bought a fantastic game for larger groups called Code Names, I would highly recommend it. Thanks for the tip. I hadn't heard of that one before. We've also had a WhatsApp recommending Boulder Dash, which is one of my favorites too. Best, funniest, happiest, most creative board game ever, says the WhatsApp. It's great for word people. It's quite challenging in a family where you have some word people and some number people, and trying to get them both playing a game that both brain halves enjoy can be a challenge. But Boulder Dash is an absolute classic. Nizam, a listener asking for advice on an alternative. They've always loved Monopoly. Want to know what other board game you would recommend for someone who likes Monopoly, or a game that is perhaps similar to Monopoly. Is there anything new on the market that comes to mind?
New, not necessarily. You can do one of the, not classics, but it's a really good fan favorite. It's the game of Catan, which is an economic game similar to Monopoly, although the emphasis here is more on your social interaction with people and being able to trade, essentially, and hopefully it's a better deal out of Catan. So Catan works similar to Monopoly, except you're not moving around the edge of a board. You are not moving anywhere on the board. As dice rolls, you get resources, and your goal is to try and build roads, towns, and cities in order to win the game. But you will never have all the resources, unfortunately, because the dice roll is very variant. And somewhat you'd have to trade with someone and say, you know, I'd give you 4 pieces of wood if you gave me 2 pieces of stone. And hopefully the person does that, because everyone, it's open information. They can see whether they're trading with you or not and furthering your win condition. That's one of the simpler games. Okay. Then something a bit more complex would be Terraforming Mars, which is in the hype with going to Mars now. It's a really well-made game. I played myself. It's really enjoyable. And a bit longer, though. Catan may be a better jumping point, just getting in there if you come straight from Monopoly.
Thanks for those tips, Nizam. Frankie, are there any new games you'd like to mention to our audience that are worth checking out?
New games worth checking out. As always, whenever I ask my customers that come through, whether they'd like a card or a board game or strategic game, and as well as, are you playing with your children? Which seems to be a very, very big thing that, again, parents aren't actually doing. And often they want me to give them just a one-player game that their four-year-old can just do by themselves. But at the end of the day, that's a toy. Yeah. It's not a game. And a game, it involves people and it involves rules. So a good game that I would suggest on the market currently, if you've already exhausted Monopoly, Cluedo, and Catan, would definitely be Terraforming Mars. You mentioned Code Names earlier. For those who are very word-orientated, there is as well Code Names Pictures and Duet. That's for two people. And my personal favorite, it's a card game that some people might find very, I don't say cliche feminist, but not feminist, that's the wrong word, I apologize. Unstable Unicorns. It's a very, very fun card game where you have the whole deceptive qualities of Munchkin, as well as gaining resources and trying to get as many unicorns as you can in your stable, as the aspect as Catan or Monopoly. Just no money and very, very cute unicorns.
Unstable Unicorns. I like the sound of that, Frankie. Thanks for the tip. Lovely SMS in from someone saying, my dad bought us board games for Christmas as youngsters, and those included chess. My brother Gordon took to chess like a fish to water and became a Western Province champ at 13, and he still competes to this day. In fact, he won a senior championship cup and is heading in a few weeks' time to Europe to play in the World Chess Tournament there. Hey, your brother Gordon sounds like someone we'd like to speak to on the show. Won't you drop us an email with some details, please? Pippa H at capetalk.co.za. Thank you, Jeff, tipping us off on the SMS line that there is a card game version of Monopoly as well. There are lots of different versions. There are kiddies ones to introduce them to the concept before you play the real one. And I still think there's a lot to be learnt from that original Monopoly board game. For one thing, Nizam, I was the youngest of four cousins who played together, and I learnt my place in the pecking order very young in life. And only in adulthood have I finally been allowed to play with the battleship as my token. But let's talk about what we learn from games. You learn cooperation. You learn respect for the rules. You learn taking your turn. You learn the social interaction, the concentration required, the strategy required. Nizam, why else would you recommend to parents that you get kids playing board games and get them doing so early?
So board games are an interesting tool of teaching. I currently still work for the Department of Health. Yep. And as soon as you gamify anything, as soon as you make something a game, the educational component is not the main focus, because normally a child, even adults, learn easier in a play setting than in a physical learning environment. So if we look at a simple game like Bananagrams, it's essentially Scrabble without the board. It's just tons of letters, and you're building your own crossword, but you're building it independently, but before everyone else. So I've taught you how to spell. You need to spell, but also to manage your time as well, because you're trying to be the first person. And then you still get to check other people's crosswords afterwards. So those are all skills that come into the gaming as well. And then decision-making is actually something that I've improved since I've started playing board games. When you realize that you need to weigh up the pros and cons of a certain decision, will this help you? Will this help someone else? Mm. Or am I doing the best thing I can do right now?
We're chatting to Nizam Abdul, owner of Pandemonium Games in Plumstead, and Frankie Bradar, events manager at Big Box Cafe. Jonathan's on the line from Wynberg, wanting to talk about the family dynamic of playing board games. Great to have you with us, Jonathan. Welcome.
Yes. Hi, Pippa. Thank you very much. I'm a social worker. I do a fair amount of work with blended families, so families that have been created through divorce. And often parents will say to me, how do I communicate with my child? How do I communicate with my stepchildren? How do I talk to my sons? I talk about the dining room table, but the other thing that I really recommend is board games. Board games have come leaps and bounds since, you know, poker and Monopoly. You have card games like Magic the Gathering that have been going for over 20, 30 years and have incredible complexity. You have a range of board games, but it's especially men and boys that aren't used to emotional talking, direct talking. It's putting that board as a family. It's playing a game that can often be quite a fun game. I mean, Kill the Bunnies is a classical card game where you're stabbing each other's bunnies to death, you know, card version, of course. And it's a great way of communicating. It's a great way of working through kind of family dynamics and conflict. It's a great way of getting back that family resiliency that often families lack in our day-to-day interactions with our screens only.
It's a great point, Jonathan Wynberg, as long as it doesn't translate into actual killing of bunnies after the fact. What a dreadful name for a game. But I take your point that it's a great great sort of leveler and bringing of people together, even people with very little in common. It's the one great way to get everybody on board is drag them into a game. Sue in Tableview say when on the SMS line saying, when playing a game, remember it is a game. And if you follow the rules, there is never a need to go for the other players. She believes children need to be taught to lose graciously and adults should be good examples. Absolutely, Sue. And the problem is quite often adults aren't a very good example if you've watched people playing some of these games. But it's a very good point. Remember that how you role model how you're playing in the game is being picked up on by the kids. Let's take a listen to a voice note.
Hi, Pippa. Mike Nixon here. One of the most exciting and really fun games ever is a card game called Pit. If you haven't read about it, I suggest you have a look. It's really great fun.
Hey, Pippa. I highly recommend for the winter school holidays a game called Beat the Parents. The moms and dads play against the kids, and it's so much fun. And there's another really cool kids parents game. It's a Trivial Pursuit, kids versus parents, which is also fantastic. So our family love playing board games, and we've introduced them to our kids at a young age, and they also love board games.
Thank you for reminding me. I wanted to mention that Trivial Pursuit. That was a game that I grew up on. And I love the fact that somebody has combined the adult version and the kids version. So essentially you get two boxes and the kids ask questions out of one and the adults out of the other. So everyone can play together. It's absolutely great fun. Lovely suggestions. Thank you so much. I can't get through all of them now, but perhaps if there's a little bit of time later in the show, I'll share a few more of them. For now, though, I want to say thank you to Frankie from Big Box Cafe, which you will find at number 18 Rulant Street here in town. Or visit their website, thebigbox.co.za. Nizam Abdul is at Pandemonium Games in Plumstead, which you'll find at 203 Main Road, just across from the Paul Bothner Music Store. And both venues offer not only the sale of games, but the opportunity to sit down and play at the venue, which is, I think, fantastic. Please do support them when you're next in the area.